Look with me in your Bibles this morning. This is a repeat for those that already heard it. Look with me in your Bibles to that book you know of, the first book of Peter. And I've titled this message, this is tip number 8, The Spirit Most Precious. You really look at some of these things. I talked to some of the people about this. I said, you know, you really need to dress it up, put on the earrings, and the nail polish and stuff like that, because the subject that we're going to be talking about is one of those things that, because of the world we live in today, has made it very difficult, and that is the subject of submission. And I guarantee you, by the time that we get done, you should be able to look at submission differently and realize that many times we look at it through the world's eyes and not God's eyes. So before I go any further this morning, I want to invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, for the opportunity to meet when so many, Lord, are unable right now. And Lord, even for the opening up of Wednesday nights for us to be able to meet, and Lord, the way that the church is able to move forward even, and we're seeing new people come. And Father, we just pray that you'd protect those that are gone right now and those that are sick, that you'd heal them and lift them up, Lord, so that your people can all return to your house, Father, and see each other's faces and fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to give a shout out this morning to Alan Tanner. How you doing, Alan? And Alan's been tuning in, and also to Grant and Linda Getty. We see you down there on the South Island. And so we just wanted to give a shout out and say hi to you. First Peter can have a huge impact on your life. Huge impact. And I thank the Lord for all the people that approached me and said, you know, Pastor, I'm reading through that this week. I encourage you to do that, because as you saturate your mind with First Peter, number one, it's preparation ground for what the world and Christians in the world are enduring right now. And it helps remind us, I want to say this early, it helps remind us that God is our hope. No government, nothing else. Our hope is in Christ. And whether you believe that it is soon or near, whether you believe that we will go through worse or less, God is our hope, and he's our protection, and he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, all right? And so everybody needs to remember that and put their faith in the Lord on these things. But it can have a huge impact. You get into it, and someone said, well, why didn't you just do a chapter at a time? Because really there are actually different messages throughout the book of Peter, 1 Peter, that are progressive, leading you up to different stages. For instance, last week you might have thought, well, that's really just in respect of the government. No. It's not. It's a system the Lord has set up that applies to all of us, male, female, young, old, regardless of race, gender, any of those things, about submission, and it applies to all of them. Now, I got to tell you, it's been an inspiration during this time in my own heart. Chapter 3 is chock full of, spiritual vitamins. Now, if you're not on vitamins right now at this time in your life, I want to encourage you to be on all the supplements and vitamins that you can. But the main one that you need is right here, okay? And the one for the time right now, well, Psalms is a good one. Proverbs is a good one. Jeremiah is a good one right now. And 1 Peter is a good one. But I'm always amazed at how compact a dose you get with each passage that we've studied. Really, guys, I've trimmed it down. We could really stay in the book of 1 Peter and just take about 3 verses at a time in each message that we teach and preach on, okay? Warren Wiersbe so much that when he wrote on 1 Peter, he has the B series, remember? And when he wrote on that, he titled it 1 Peter, Be Hopeful. And the subtitle of it was this: How to Make the Best Times Out of the Worst Times. And that's good advice for us today, isn't it? Quick review, chapter 1 talked about who we are, where we really live, who we really serve, and the force that's within us. Now, it was just opening the door for us to see that the force is with us and we need to live in that force. Then came chapter 2. The instructions continued, they intensified, and that was that, okay, if we want to enjoy all the potential that Christ has for us, we need to detox from the world. Very simply put, very difficult to do. We spend more time in the world and subject to the things of the world. If you're a parent here this morning, you understand that the school many times has your kids more than you do. Sunday school teachers know this. You get them about an hour a week, and they're wherever they are, hopefully Christian homes the rest of the time. But it opened the doors for us to understand that. In other words, for Christ and the Holy Spirit, that power that lives within us, the less of us that's there, the more of them that's able to emerge and come forward. Chapter 2, it continued with detoxing from the world and then feeding spiritually and learning how to behave. Kind of like a guy that won the lottery, I told you. He wins the lottery and blows it all in the first 2 or 3 weeks. And makes friends he never knew he had and lost all the friends he really had. Family all hates him and all that. And it's simply because why? He didn't come into it organically, didn't come into it naturally, and he really doesn't know how to handle those things. So as Christians, that's why we have God's Word. When we get saved, we are given the power of the Trinity within us. How many of you believe that? Well, you gotta, because the Lord tells us that in Matthew 28. He tells that all power is given unto him and that we're in him. See, because of that, we have this great power. Most Christians are unaware of the power of prayer. But we need to learn how to behave with that new power. We're not better than the world. We still live physically in this world right now. This world is our ministry for Jesus Christ, who's coming to take us home someday. And before we go any further this morning, I just want to reiterate that this is a hot topic this morning. And so you got to put on your big britches and your gum boots, and you got to hear this, okay? You got to hear it right. And you got to understand it's not an isolated text, meaning that it's not just about the apparent opening subject in our matter. It's not just about, if you're not careful, you'll hear the first few words of this, and you'll, Christians are so famous for this. How many of you ever heard the phrase gospel hardened? We become scripture hardened in our lives that we will have heard a text so many times or a topic so many times that when it comes, our mind runs over here and starts going, I'm listening to that, but I've got other things to think of. And that's a dangerous place for us to get as Christians. So it's not an isolated text, all right? It's in fact a continuing subject from last week, the topic of submission. It goes back to 1 Peter 2, that 12 through 17. He's telling us as a royal priesthood how to behave and witness to this world. And just like the Lord was in submission here on earth, we're to be in submission. We are not greater than our master, all right? And so you've got to remember that at one time there was no chapter divisions in the Bible. There were no verse divisions in the Bible. How many of you are aware of that? Raise your hand. Okay, and so it all just ran together. And it wasn't until a few hundred years ago that they came in and they started putting the chapter divisions, the verse divisions. So you got to look at these things as one letter and understand that they all run together, and you have to separate the truths that are there. So when we hear the word submission, it tends to bring about negative feelings, okay? And that's why he goes out of his way to demonstrate with his own life, and that's why he told us to take up our cross and follow him. Nothing about living, look here, the Christian life comes without sacrifice, and it all comes at a price. Now, the difference is we can agonize over it or we can rejoice in it that we're able to identify with the Lord and there is a price to be paid for something. Amen? And so to do that, we've got to detox. And submission isn't something that applies to the world, but it applies to us. And it can't be understood by the world, but it can be understood by us, right? When we look at it from God's word, well, let me do that with you morning. It's a mark of surrender to the Lord. And it's a mark of faith. It's a mark of maturity. And it applies to all of us. And is God's, remember we said in the chapter before, be ye holy for I am holy. So it's God's standard of holiness. So when we're submitting, what are we submitting to? We're submitting to the Lord. Now, again, I want to reiterate, this talks about, when we talk about our governments, we're talking about they have been put there to protect us from evils. That's what governments were established for. So we're talking about in the matters of evil and holiness, and I need to make that clear this morning. And here's the good news. It doesn't just apply to women in marriage. The guys need to, you know, it's like in some generation, guys read that, and they said, man, my wife's got to submit to me. And from that point on, nobody heard anything. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. When you tell your wife to live at a certain standard, and you demand that of her because you're the guy, immediately she remembers she washes your underwear. Okay? Let's just be real about it. And she remembers all the mistakes. And so what we have to do is we actually have to model anything we expect to be done in our homes. We have to model that. All right? And so this week, tip number 8 is about the spirit most precious to the Lord, the spirit of submission to his plan. Now, I'm going to start reading. We're going to read 8 verses. We'll pick up with number 8 next week. But right now, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 8. Likewise, now see the word likewise. It connects you to the chapter before. All right? So yes, that's true about government. But if we're going to claim that about government too, ladies, we got to claim that about this in our homes. And we've got to say that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Remember I told you last week about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and where we had seen that before in scripture was that there were women who got saved, but their husbands didn't get saved. They thought this would be a great time to ditch them, right? Or that they didn't listen to their husbands because the husbands weren't saved. And so the Lord goes into this a little bit here, and he says that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation. And that conversation simply means this, the testimony of the wife in action. Actions speak louder than words. That's your real conversation. But let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Ladies, before you think anything about that word meek there, I want you to understand that it is greatly misunderstood. And we're going to go over it a little bit this morning. But the Bible said that Moses was a meek man. And meek means strength under control, under the control of God. And so it's not talking about some whipped down, beat down woman who has no opinion on everything. I'm going to take my time as I go through this morning. And the Bible talks about how we've got this for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in husbands who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well. Underline that, as long as you do well. And are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be light of God of great price, the Bible tells us. I believe that if we can detox our minds from preconceived ideas this morning, it'll help us open our minds and spirits to the rich blessings and power the Lord has to offer us. Ladies, some of my greatest heroes in the Bible are ladies. Jochebed, you've heard me talk about it. A lot of people will say Ruth, absolutely. Jochebed, Esther, some of my greatest heroes in the Bible. And very little is said about them, but what's said about them causes you to sit up and go like this. That's the kind of faith I want. And it's not modeled just by gender, guys. It's modeled by spirit. Okay? So I'm going to give you three things this morning about submission that everybody needs to understand, regardless of husband or wife, male or female. Three things that are going to liberate and empower us for service. All right? And if you're a Christian, you're living here on the face of earth, you are in the service of God. Bought and paid for, liberated, in service to God. And if you say, well, I'm not in service to anyone, well, then we need to sit down, we need to talk. Because if Jesus was a servant of the Lord, surely you're not better than your master. All right? So number one this morning, first of all, submission is not directed at women apart from anything else. And the Bible tells us that in verse 1 through 8. Now, underline this word, verse 1, likewise, ye wives. Likewise. Well, what is it referring back to? It refers back to the fact that we were all told to be in submission. That's part of God's plan. Then you go down to verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. What's the first thing that happens when you talk about the word submission? People get indignant and they get afraid. Those are the two main emotions attached to that. Now, I'm going to go through this a little bit further here in just a minute. And then, gentlemen, in verse 7, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And we need to get that down. We need to understand that. The word likewise points back to chapter 2, and it started with the men in verse 12 through 17. And God's informing us that his ways are far above and better than our ways. And our way is to take the world on directly and preach at them instead of preaching to them with our testimony. You can say all you want to the world around you, to your neighbors, your co-workers, your family members. You can say all you want to, but the most important thing is what you live. Then when you speak, it has power, it has impact. Okay? And God's informing us that he has a different way of looking at things than we do, and he's telling us to represent heaven to win the world. They have to see a different spirit in us. So when we go through trials like the world goes through trials, guys, listen to me. Don't believe that because we're Christians, we're not going to go through trials. When it rains, like we're hoping it'll rain right now, right? It rains on people whether they're saved or unsaved. When a dust storm comes up, when a thunderstorm comes up, when any of those things happen, it happens to everyone. Trials come upon you individually and upon this world. Some of them may be attacks by Satan, but some of them are just this fallen world and life that we live in that God left us here to represent him. Are you with me? Say amen. And so Christ preached loudest with his life. His life screamed that he wasn't in control. He screamed it, but that God was. The words that I speak, they're not my words. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Lord, if it be possible, Father, if it be possible, nevertheless, not thy will or my will, but thy will be done, Father. All those things that Jesus did to show he was in submission to his Father as well. All right? And let's be clear, submission's never easy. And it's important to remember, men, it's important to remember that submission in your home is not easy for you, and it's not easy for your wife or your children. That's important to remember. Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, remember? Remember? And in the garden, we just spoke of that. And the early disciples, the apostles, what he had to deal with there. The early church, remember what they went through? And they stayed in submission to the Lord. But it's the way of him who hath called us. Can I say another one this morning? I'm going to be very bold this morning and say one that needs to be said and should be said. In submission to the church and the pastor as long as they are in the Word of God. In that way. I probably have said that maybe 5 times in my entire ministry. Not because we have a problem, but because I think it's important for everybody to understand the pastor's in submission too. He's in submission to the Word of God, and he's in submission to the will of God, and he's in submission to everything else that you're in submission to. There's my wife right back there, okay? And so all of us are in this thing, okay? Submission is directed at us all equally. The opening of chapter 3 is merely a continuation of the theme on how to behave in this world. He's saying, here's how you need to act. Hey, saints, priests, royal priesthood, ambassadors. Now, you've been given those titles. You've been given this place. Now, here's your marching orders on how to behave in the world that you're in. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the officials today that we have in this world behave by God's principles? And the very thing that we detest a lot of times is how that people behave when they're in authority. Let's not be those people, male or female. Let's not be those people, all right? So submission is directed to all of us equally. And the opening of chapter 3 is merely that continuation of that theme. And as a chosen generation of royal priesthood, he didn't leave it for us all to act and behave the way that we wanted to. And when we understand that truth, it liberates us and frees us to see the truth. There's a lot of times I've gone through things in our ministry, or we're going to go through things in this world, and you can sit and scratch your head and pull your hair out and go, I don't know what to do. But simply put, if you'll just go by what God says, life becomes a lot easier. And can I say it's a lot easier to live the life you live in church outside of church? You know why people will start pulling away from the church a lot of times? Because things are catching up with them. Guys, live outside these walls the way that you live and act in these walls. Be faithful to the Lord. All right, secondly this morning, here's what submission's not. I thought you might need some clarification here. So let's do away with some common misconceptions. I'm bringing a lady in to talk to you this morning, and I know that you'll enjoy her, but let's do away with some common misconceptions to what submission is. I really believe that submission's gotten a bad name. Submission is not weakness, ladies, and meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. So I've called on a worldwide Christian author, women's speaker, to help me this morning, ladies. She is not here. She is not preaching to you, but she is a worldwide author. She's written a book, Two Women, and I thought I would bring that forward this morning. Another good one is Bunny Wilson. Ladies, for you, Bunny Wilson. And you look up some of these ladies, and this is Mary Cassian. How many of you ever heard of her? Mary Cassian. And she's the founder of Girls Gone Wise. You liked that last one, didn't you? Girls Gone Wise, okay? Award-winning author, internationally renowned speaker, distinguished professor of women's studies at Southern Baptist Seminary. And she wrote about the 7 misconceptions. You want to hear it this morning? The 7 misconceptions of submission? All right, so number one, the first misconception is that submission is universal and can be expected even of those outside the faith. Hey guys, submission will never be accepted by the world. You may not realize this, submission is a Christian thing. It's a God thing. And when we look around the world and we don't see the acceptance of it, we shouldn't be surprised, okay? The truth is that Christian submission is defined by the relationship between God the Father and the Son, and people without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit have neither the discernment, she goes on and writes, nor the power to live out submission and authority in a godly manner. Pretty good. Number two. The second misconception is that submission is just for women. Truth is, men have a responsibility to submit too. And it's not just something that's required of women. Every Christian, female or male, has the responsibility to submit to the Lord and also to the authorities the Lord has placed in his or her life. Number three, submission is generic. Every woman submits to every man. Gentlemen, can I just tell you in here, my wife is not to be in submission to you. Amen? You get what I'm saying? Our wives in our home and our children in our home, that submission and my submission to her, I'm not in submission to every woman. That submission is a godly theme in my home that's played out, all right? The Bible instructs a wife to submit herself to her own husband and not to men in general. Number four, believe it or not, some people get confused about that. Number four, submission is a right a husband has, the right to demand his wife's submission. I can't tell you how many times that thing has driven me crazy. You hear some Christian guy get up and go, you know, my wife, the Bible says she's supposed to submit to me. Guys, let me give you a little bit of truth here. Women generally don't have problems with that word if she can look up to and admire her husband. If a woman has a man that she looks up to and admires, and he says, here's what we need to do, she normally listens. Okay? A husband should never demand that he has the right to make his wife submit. Submission is not submission unless it's her choice. It's not something you can demand. It's not a man's right, and she is to submit herself. And that means deciding to do is her call. Some of the guys turned me off right now. Yeah, Pastor, you lost that one. All right? It's her responsibility to be agreeable, but it's between her and God. Number five, submission is indiscriminate. It means, in other words, a lot of people believe it means mindlessly agreeing. And if that's submission, then I would say we need to change the word to dominion, okay? Because that was never God's ideal of submission. Every Christian's first responsibility is to submit to the Lord and his standard of righteousness. A wife isn't called to submit to sin. Godly women don't submit to sin. Women should discern how to submit, remembering their first responsibility is to the Lord. Submission's an attitude of the heart, and God has never called women to submit to evil. Just needs to be said. Number six, submission does away with, this is a misconception. Submission does away with mutuality. It creates lopsided, one-way relationships. The truth of it is, submission and authority function hand in hand with all the other biblical directives about how Christians ought to interact with one another. And along with submitting to her husband, a Christian wife also has a responsibility to speak truth, confront sin, and challenge her husband to ever increasing levels of holiness and righteous living. As heirs together, the Bible says, of the grace of life, both husband and wife have the responsibility to love, encourage, and build one another up, and to interact with forbearance, kindness, and humility. Biblical authority and submission contribute to mutuality and do not diminish or detract from it. Simple truth of it, guys. Submission, the way that I have had to research it down through the years, simply means this. the hard calls on you. You're supposed to have the broader shoulders. You're supposed to step in when danger abounds, and you're supposed to take charge when mama can't make the right call because of her heart. That's what it is. That's why the Bible threw in there, as unto the weaker vessel. Women, you are not weaker. God wasn't implying that women are a weak creation. God was implying that He gave men probably less emotions, more of ability to step in when they need to. My wife can be guilted out. My wife has a quiet spirit. And I had to work from the day that we got married. You're welcome to go run and talk to her, to beg her to speak her mind and talk to me and tell me how she felt about something. I cannot tell you how many wrecks she saved us from in the car. And in life. I could write a book about the times that I set out to do something and thankfully listened to my wife. You've heard me talk about it, some of you, before. There was a peacock that our church saved, and we had that mirrored glass to protect us from the heat, and the sun didn't shine straight through at the church. And a little country church, it wasn't little. We ran highs of 1,000. But there was this peacock that would come over every morning and look at himself, and he would just, fluff up like that, and he would leave friendly reminders that that was his place. And it would ruin the carpet, and a few months later we'd have to replace it, and it would ruin the carpet, and a few months later. And one time my wife found out I had something in my car that was completely legal, but I planned to use it in a way to go bang, bang. No longer a problem, right? And she managed very gracefully and very lovingly to talk me out of that. And so I thought I'd be smarter later on, and I bought some rat poison. And I thought, well, I'll just drop some of that down there and just, maybe it'll take effect. And I mean, this was God's property. He was doing this too, right? People would try to come in the door and he'd get all fluffy on them. And but anyway, I mean, I can justify it any way you look. But my wife said, I just want to say this, Mr. Walker. Tomorrow, your picture is going to be in the newspaper for the wrong reason. Is that what you want? No, not really. And so, how many of you can identify? You know what I'm talking about. They saved us from making some rather headstrong decisions in life. Aren't you glad if you have a wife like that, that you have a wife like that? And I thank the Lord for it, okay? Number 7, the 7th misconception, submission promotes abuse and encourages husbands to be domineering, self-centered monsters. And the truth is, when done right, the framework of authority and accountability in relationships within the Christian community serves as a protective function, because every authority is accountable to a higher authority, and this community and structure encourages husbands to fulfill their responsibility to love in the way the Lord does and holds them accountable when they don't. The truth of it is, a lot of our countries used to be a lot more godly than they are today. And in neighborhoods where that people knew that a man was abusive, he got a reputation, and sometimes he got an education along with it. We don't have that anymore today. And so, but in the church, it's different. There's accountability. Okay? And the community structure encourages husbands to fulfill their responsibility and love as the way the Lord does, and holds them accountable when they don't. It fosters Christ-likeness and prevents abuse. A wife whose husband is abusive can appeal to higher authorities for intervention, protection. It's the responsibility of the authorities to protect and seek the good of all those under their care. I thought that'd be good, bringing another woman in on that. Tremendous book. I highly recommend it to you. We need to put away what submission's not and focus on what it's really saying here. So let me say this to you this morning. Submission's best understood as a voluntary yielding of your rights or will